So it's like a half reboot, half refresh?
Yes. And so I'm not sure where they're going with it.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Another edition of Can I Get a Podcast? We are back live in action at the beautiful Cumulus Studios. I'm your host, Jeffrey Cooperstein, alongside my good friend and co-host, Chris Gross.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Chris. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. This is our first time together in 2 weeks since last week you had the flu outbreak or the swine flu or something
that confined you to your house. Really, really bad like that. No, not quite the flu, but here we are on Friday after game one Thursday where the Raptors beat the Warriors to take a 1-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Chris, just first wanted to get your initial thoughts on the game, how you saw it play out.
Yeah, I didn't think the absence of Kevin Durant was going to be such a big deal, especially with Boogie being back. I thought this was going to be something that, like, okay, it might affect, like, one game in this series, but the Raptors' defense was great, and obviously you had the awesome game from Pascal Siakam. This was the opposite, basically, of what I thought we were going to see in this series. I was not expecting a game like this. I thought if the Raptors were going to win games, it was going to be because of... Now, the Warriors did have a really bad offensive night, but I do think a part of that was the Raptors' defense. I was not expecting this.
Everything that needed to go right for the Raptors yesterday went right. Yeah. They had Pascal Siakam getting 32. The Warriors shot, like, 33% from the field. The Warriors just weren't on their game last night. They weren't stingy defensively. They weren't forcing turnovers. And they let guys like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam beat them. And that's how you're going to beat the Warriors. I think the Warriors are still going to win the series. I'm not anywhere near ready to declare the Raptors the favorites to win. But it at least makes it interesting off the bat.
Yeah, and I think that's something good because I had before this picked Warriors in six.
I still think it's Warriors in six.
Yeah, I agree. It gives me, if you're a Warriors fan, you should have hope that Kevin Durant made the trip to Toronto because I don't think he does that if he's not close.
Yeah, well, I believe I read on Twitter that it's unlikely he's cleared to play game two.
Okay.
But if they go down 2-0, best believe he's playing game three.
Yeah. And part of it, too, is I give a lot of it to, just from what I saw on TV yesterday and listening on the radio, the atmosphere was awesome in Toronto.
Oh, man.
And I think that played a big part.
No, it's super cool. I mean, the whole Jurassic Park thing outside, too. It's very cool. It's their first time in the finals, and Toronto finally gets something to cheer about because the Maple Leafs have been no good forever. The Blue Jays, I mean, they were good for a few years here, a few years ago. But they haven't had much to cheer about, so it's really cool. They get to go to the finals. First team from Canada to ever make the finals. So definitely a cool new thing we saw.
It was the crazy part to me that the Warriors were able to overcome is, and the Warriors have done this in the past couple of postseasons, is how good they are at the free throw line. At one point, it was like they were 21 of 21, and they were still down by like 10 points.
Yeah, no, they're so good at the free throw line.
So Curry and Thompson combined to go 16 of 35 from the field. When you can hold them, Curry ended up scoring 34 points. But when you can hold them down to that kind of shooting percentage, I think that's the way you're going to be able to win this game.
And what's
win this series.
What's crazy is that 16 for 35 is like not a bad shooting percentage overall.
Yeah.
But for Curry and Thompson, who are the two best shooters on planet Earth, that's going to get it done most nights where you don't have Kevin Durant to, get those extra 25, 30.
Let me know if you feel this way. So right off the bat, the Raptors came out and they hit like, they were not contesting Gasol at all at the 3-point line.
No, they were letting Gasol stand out there and hit him. And then once he hit the first two, they were like, okay, we have to go guard him.
So
absolutely.
They hit like three threes, like really early in the game. And I wonder if that kind of took the wind out of their sails a little bit. Because like you said, you're okay with leaving Gasol out there. Like you're gonna focus on Kawhi. And then when he hits a couple, you're like, okay, this is not what we were expecting at all. We weren't expecting this kind of 3-point shooting out out the beginning. I just kind of felt like that was them setting the tone, and they kind of rode that all the way.
Yeah, no, that first quarter was definitely a tone setter. You had Danny Green making shots, Kawhi was making shots, Pau Gasol, and obviously Siakam.
Yeah.
So they did. They got a whole team effort last night, and that's obviously what it's going to take to beat the Warriors. I don't know if they can sustain it and win four out of seven, or win three out of the next six against them.
Yeah.
But it makes it an interesting series.
Yeah, and I guess that's really all you can ask for.
Like, absolutely. That's all you want. You want good basketball.
Especially in a series where, like, I have no rooting interest. I really would like a good series, and I was not expecting a game like this, especially a game where, now the Warriors got it down to, like, five or six at times throughout the game, but the Warriors pretty much held, like, a 10-point lead throughout, or the Raptors, what did I say?
Yeah.
The Raptors held a 10-point lead throughout this entire game. So it wasn't like a, okay, it was close all the way through, and the Raptors made the last shot.
But I've seen it so many times where the Raptors had a 10-point lead with a minute and 11 left, and in my head, I was like, this game's not over yet.
Yeah.
It's the Warriors just, they do that to you. It's the fear they put into your head. If they're up, if the Warriors are down 15, I don't even bat an eye because I know they can come back because I've seen it so many times.
And that's what's impressive about if you can hold Curry and Thompson down, because if they get going, I mean, the way they can shoot, it's like you said, a 15-point lead can evaporate so quickly.
It's nothing.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We're talking about the NBA Finals after the Raptors win Game 1, 118-109. Series stays in Toronto for one more game. The Raptors with a 1-0 series lead. I think you had a good point where, especially if you drop down 0-2 and you're the Warriors, you're really wanting to get Durant back in. And where do you see, if Durant comes back, where do you see him making like his biggest impact?
I think it's an underrated impact, but when he's out there defensively, it's going to help them a lot because he is, 7 feet, has that huge wingspan. And he is an underrated defender. He can guard people. So I think he rounds out their defense in turn will make their offense better because they can get out and transition more often and get him the ball and just let him jack it up because he'll make him.
I think there's something wrong with Kawhi. Like,
yes, he's not. I think there's something wrong with Kawhi. Iguodala doesn't look 100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this series that don't look 100%, but you expect that during the finals.
Iguodala, there was one point where he went down, and it took everything he had in him to get back to the other side of the court at one point last night. So I think you're right. But the thing that, it's kind of a double-edged sword for the Warriors coming out of Game 1, because Leonard ends up with 23 points, but definitely not a Kawhi night. Like, this is, you can expect so much more. He shot 5 of 14. But then on the flip side, so if you're the Warriors, like, okay, we shouldn't lose a game where Kawhi has a night like this.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, the hero of Game 1, Pascal Siakam, shoots lights out. He's 14 of 17 for 32 points. And so you're like, okay, are the Warriors, I just don't think the Warriors are, or the Raptors, I don't know why I keep getting them mixed up. I don't know. I don't think the Raptors are going to be able to keep this up.
Yeah, no, that's a huge anomaly. Like, I would bet my parents' house that Pascal Siakam, yes, huge, that Pascal Siakam won't go 14 to 17 for 32 in Game 2.
I don't think so. And I don't think, look, Kyle Lowry is going to have to show me that he can do something like that. And so if you're the Raptors, basically what you're banking on is, if we don't get a typical Kawhi night, we got to have somebody else who's going to step up.
Lowry was horrible, by the way.
I mean,
they're going to have one of their big guys, Lowry or Gasol, have a really good game in Game 2 for them to win. Because I think the Warriors are going to come out and know that they have to play better in order for them to win, and I think they will.
Kyle Lowry shoots 2 of 9. He has 7 points, but 9 assists.
Not bad.
Yeah, he did. There was was it pretty deep in the game where he had like 6 or 7 assists and no points?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was like deep into the third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took him a while to get those points. Do you want to guess who was the only Warrior who was in positive figures of plus minus last night? I'll give you a hint. It's not a starter.
Boogie.
It was Alphonso McKinney.
Alphonso McKinney, who literally, I have never seen him make a shot that isn't a corner three. I was watching the game with some buddies last night. And every single time he sits there in that corner, he makes it.
Yeah.
But he can't make it from anywhere else. So that may be completely false, but every time I see him, he's making a corner three.
His two shots that he made last night were three-pointers.
And they were both from the corner.
He had 6 points. Yeah, the only Warrior in positive plus-minus. How do you feel about the plus-minus statistic?
I think it's a good indicator over a season. Yeah. But for a game, it's not great because, you know, you can be plus 10 and your team can lose by 30. So, I mean, it's a misleading stat, but over an entire season, I think it's a good indicator.
Like this exactly. Like, if you're trying to tell me that that's how you're going to determine who was the best performer
the
court last...
That's not a good indicator.
Like, obviously, if you're a good offensive player and you can play defense, you're going to have a better plus-minus than somebody who can't.
Sure.
But the same guy playing for the Mavs versus playing for the Warriors can have the same talent, and he's going to have a better plus-minus playing for Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, that's how all stats are, you know, very subjective.
I like the stat, but I'm just very wary of putting too much stock into the plus-minus stat.
Two things I wanted to get to before we get out of here on this segment. Drake's troll job of wearing the Del Curry jersey, pretty impressive.
I liked it. I do think the one thing about Drake is...
They should go back to those jerseys, by the way.
Oh, I love the purple.
Oh, my goodness.
I like... And the logo that's actually the Raptor.
The dinosaur.
Yeah. I think is really cool. You can't... You kind of lose some of your credibility when you have tattoos of two guys who play for the other team.
It's Steph and KD he has tats of, right?
Yeah.
Why does he have this is a DJ Ringenberg argument. Why does he have tats of another man on himself?
So...
That's not like a relative who passed or someone very important to him.
I guess, like, when you're... I don't know how many tattoos Drake has.
Probably
like,
a lot.
It's his arms aren't... He doesn't have a sleeve or anything.
No.
So it's not like he's like, okay, I just need to find some kind of tattoo to fill up this space. It's on his left bicep, like kind of down towards the elbow area, and it's the number 30, and it might say Curry under it. I don't know what it says. And then there's the number 35. And it says sniper, I think, under it for KD. So you lose a little bit of credibility for me. Like, I'll be honest. When I saw him last night with the Nike armband on his arm, at first I was like...
Oh, because he was covering it
up. Yeah, at first I was like, okay, that's really lame. And then when I found out it was because he had... If I knew he had a KD and Curry tattoo, I forgot. Then when I learned that, I was like, okay, that's really super lame.
And I think him talking trash to Draymond after the game too is pretty funny. He basically called him trash, and I thought it was awesome.
Did you see he picked out a piece of lint from Steph Curry's
yes,
hair?
And he posted it on Instagram. Yeah. He's like posting this on eBay, and then username.
It's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. I going into the series was kind of dreading the whole Drake thing, but I don't think they overdid it last night.
No, they didn't. I think in the Eastern Conference Finals it was overdone. Yes. Absolutely, but they definitely scaled back because I was thinking I was like. Over under the first 4 minutes, Drake is on the television.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't on the TV in the first 4 minutes of the first quarter.
And it actually just kind of worked out organically where Iguodala, I went to save a ball, and he just basically ran right into Drake.
Yeah.
And so the cameras like there are like, okay, this is awesome. We don't even have to manufacture this moment.
No,
but
so I think they handled that very well.
Yes, I agree. Overall, I like the Drake troll job. I like it.
Me too.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to get to, Steph Curry. 34 points. It's a solid Finals MVP opening can or what's the word? Opening statement.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is a running bit that has developed between Jeffrey and I lately. And who is this started from? It wasn't like us originally who came up.
No, it's Barry on Twitter.
Okay. And his thing is that Steph Curry has never won Finals MVP, and so Steph opened with the best odds to win Finals MVP, and. It's good.
Pretty good showing.
Yes, if the Warriors win.
What if he drops like 50 the rest of the series and the Warriors lose?
I'm always in favor of giving the MVP to a guy on the losing team.
Me too. Like, I think it'd be funny.
I think it's novel, and like especially if you get it's like Siakam was the hero last night.
Right.
And then like if it's Kawhi in the second win and maybe like Gasol in the third one. So you don't have like a guy who's being dominant in three. But yeah, if Curry, if he scores like, what, like, we'll say like 100, well, depends on how many the series goes. But yeah, if he's averaging like 40 points a game, I say give it to him.
Me too. Absolutely.
Best of luck to Steph Curry.
Yes, we're rooting for you.
But that's going to do it for our NBA discussion. Let's talk college football.
Our favorite subject.
And it's weird that we were talking about it at the end of May, but we've got two big...
It's never weird.
Never weird. Two big topics that we had to talk about. Two controversial issues in the world of college football. We'll talk about that next here on Can I Get a Podcast.
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. Can I Get a Podcast? Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross. Earlier, we talked NBA. We talked NBA Finals. And we're going to move on here. We're going to get to some big college football topics, or high school football, if you will, in Texas.
Yes.
Can't believe we are talking about high school / college football here on May 31st. But, Chris, there's a big-name coach that got hired, and it is stirring the pot.
It's something I personally never thought we were going to see.
Me neither.
In
yes,
the United
I was
States.
Shocked. I was shocked.
And that is Art Briles. We're recording this here on Friday evening, the podcast. So it was almost exactly a week ago when this news was announced. It was Friday, late Friday evening, that Art Briles has been hired as head football coach at Mount Vernon High School.
And now I was at the Dallas Morning News when this broke, and I was in charge of colleges at the time. So me and another guy were, you know, scrambling trying to get all this news online. And it was just an absolutely crazy time that someone who is so controversial as Art Briles is getting another shot in Texas. Formerly, or his last job, Chris, he was coaching in Italy, coaching American football in Italy.
And that was kind of where, now remember, even this wasn't even North America, but he was going to get hired by the Tiger Cats.
Yes, the Hamilton
CFL.
Tiger Cats. That is North America.
Okay, not the United States. So the Canadian team.
Yeah.
But he was going to be hired there, but there was such public outrage against it that they ended up backing off.
That's right.
And firing him. Or hiring him.
Yes, and Southern Miss was going to interview him for their offensive coordinator position. They got backlash, and they backed off of him as well.
The Cowboys were even interested. Like, Jerry Jones was interested in bringing him in as an offensive assistant or something. I never, just kind of looking at it big picture, I never thought we were going to see this. Like, I never thought we were going to see Art Briles coaching any kind of football in the United States. I never expected this.
And let alone high school football, where you're supposed to be molding the character of young men. I think it's just a very hypocritical situation, and frankly, it's not right. And that's where I am.
So let me read to you. This is the statement from Jason McCullough. He's Mount Vernon ISD's superintendent. He says, "We are pleased to welcome Coach Briles back home to Texas. He brings with him a wealth of not only football experience, but also life experience. He is passionate about investing in the lives of young people and helping them to succeed both on the field and in life. After a thorough due diligence process and several earnest conversations, we believe our students will benefit greatly from his skills and experience." I think even if you believe all those things,
which you don't,
it's really tone deaf to say.
Well, you know, here's what it comes down to. Mount Vernon wants to win football games.
Yeah.
So they hired one of the best available coaches.
And
I won't take that away from Art Briles. He is a damn good football coach.
He is a great offensive coach. And I knew the stat like 2 years ago, like when this happened, but when Art Briles really started getting things going at Baylor, like up before Art Briles got there, Baylor in their entire history, like 150 years of football, had won 10 games in a season like two or three times.
And he did it like two or three times.
Yeah, so the way he was able to turn a program that had just been awful forever, I mean, it took offensive genius. And we had the year 2014 where they lost in Morgantown, I believe, to West Virginia that year. Outside of that, they would have been college football playoff team fighting for a national championship. And to think how far he fell, and we know the allegations. I said when this first happened that I was okay with the hiring because I believe everyone deserves a second chance. And kind of my arguments on that is Harrison Graham, our colleague here, came back at me and he said, "Well, that's fine. Give him a second chance working somewhere else. He doesn't need to be around kids." And so my response to that is, well, he's a football coach. So it's not like he can walk into a business firm or an accounting firm and say, "Hey, I'd really like a second chance, but I can't coach. Will you hire me?" It's not really going to happen that way. Like, for you to move into another profession, you kind of have to have some kind of background or experience. And he just doesn't have that.
And so, I agree with that, but I think where it went wrong is he should not be coaching high school. I think he should be coaching at the very least collegiate, probably somewhere professionally, whether it's in the NFL, the CFL,
yeah,
the Arena Football League, etc. I think that's where he should have tried to go first.
Especially like because you're at this age, especially you're like this is where kids' minds are really getting molded.
Right.
And so I agree. You know, my perspective on that is, you know, God is he's a God of grace and second chances. And so to me, I feel like it's hypocritical of me to accept the grace that he's given, but not to give it to somebody else. But I also understand, you know, I saw a tweet about it today from Brenda Tracy, who's been the outspoken. She was a rape survivor and she was very outspoken against Art Briles and Baylor. And she says that, you know, he should never deserve a second chance. So I don't want to ignore the victims. And again, I say all this by saying I don't condone anything Art Briles did. We know he covered up allegations. So I hear that. So that's why I kind of really don't know where I stand on it right now. But here's what I think. I think if you're going to hire Art Briles, here's what you do. There's two stipulations. One, you say, when we hire you, you hold a news conference and you apologize for everything. You say, this is what happened. I was wrong. I've learned from my mistakes. It's never going to happen again. We haven't seen that from Art Briles.
No, I don't think we've seen anything except for that he Skyped in to introduce himself.
And my other stipulation is you put a clause in his contract and you say, you will be nothing short of the perfect employee. And if you do anything, we fire you. And we don't owe you anything. Like, if you're late for a meeting, you're fired. If a kid, you know, vomits on the field and we don't hear about it, you're fired. Like, you better do everything right. And if you don't, we can fire you without cause. So, I think that's a couple things you have to have built in, which I don't think aren't. So, I guess I basically end up saying, I'm not really a fan of this. But I think there has to be some way for people to get a second chance.
And that's fair. And this, you know, this very may well be Briles' second chance, and he might, you know, he might have it right. He might have changed. He might have realized he'd done things wrong in the past, but we just don't know yet. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. The other big story, and this actually came down today, is about Brew McCoy.
Yes.
Why don't you fill us in on Brew McCoy's journey to Texas and his journey out?
So Brew McCoy committed to USC at the All-American game, enrolled at USC, took classes at USC for I believe it was 19 days, went into the transfer portal because he basically chose USC in large part to Cliff Kingsbury being the offensive coordinator there. The day after he committed and signed his letter of intent to USC. Well, let me backtrack there. Rumors have it he signed his letter of intent to USC before he publicly committed.
Okay.
So he was signed and sealed to USC.
Yeah.
The day after he committed, Cliff Kingsbury takes the job as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So Brew has cold feet about it. You know, long story short, ends up going into the transfer portal, transferring to Texas. Goes through spring classes, goes through spring ball at Texas, plays in the spring game, is doing spring workouts, stays till the end of the semester, goes home to California, realizes that he's super homesick, contemplates transferring. Texas sends Tom Herman. They send the director of player development, Jason Washington. Sam Ellinger was out there at a camp in Southern California. All these guys go to his house, try to convince him to stay at Texas. Yeah. And apparently he's not, and Brew McCoy is back in the transfer portal, going back to USC. All in the span of 4 months, by the way.
This is just probably the most bizarre thing I've heard about.
It's so weird. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not even mad because I feel bad for him because no one should get the hate and online that he's getting right now because he's just a kid. He doesn't know what he wants yet, obviously. It's a very strange situation. It sucks that Texas is losing a talent like him. But if he doesn't know what he wants and he doesn't want to be there, then, you know, what are you going to do?
I get it being homesick, but it's just weird. Especially you're going back to the same school.
Yeah, like, no, it's very strange. Obviously, USC wanted him. He was a top 10 recruit in the country, the number one athlete. It's just weird, man.
So you as a Texas fan, how do you feel?
I can't say I'm very mad about this situation. It's like it's like if he doesn't want to be there, then you know why should they want him? It sucks. He is a really good talent. He's probably going to play a lot this next year, but like I said on Twitter, Texas has a lot of receivers that can step in and step up. So it sucks, but I'm not too mad.
It's very strange. Like
I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no let's get this out of the way. There's no chance he plays this year, right?
No, I don't. Like
they will not approve a waiver.
Yeah, or like applying for hardship, like
there's
no
chance. No,
it's not going to happen. And I guess the part of this to where it kind of makes it okay is I understand both reasons. Like if you just tell me straight up a guy committed, transferred to a different school, then transferred back to his original school in, what, 4 months, you said?
4 months.
At first, I'm like, okay, that's dumb, but so the guy he commits to leaves. Okay, I get it, transfer. And then you get, and you're like, look, I just can't do it. I got to go home. I get both reasons.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think that's why I'm not sure if we'll ever see anything like this again.
We've never seen anything like it before, that's for sure. Well, I say that. Jimmy Witt, former basketball player at SMU, is a grad transfer and is going back to Arkansas where he started.
Okay.
But that's a little different.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, best of luck to Brew, first of all. He seems like a good guy by all accounts.
Yeah.
He's a great talent. Wish him the best, but, dude, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't want to bring this up because I didn't want to seem like a super homer, but the transfer portal, it causes this.
So,
because under the old rules, no shot Brew McCoy is transferring to any Power 5 school because Texas wouldn't let him. Because Herman could block a transfer anyway.
Yeah. So I agree with that. But again, like I said, I don't know if we'll ever see these circumstances. But yeah, I think because of the transfer portal, we are going to see much more of a semi-free agency almost in college sports.
And I think the transfer portal is a good idea. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, Brew is exploiting it to its absolute max.
And I think this is an outlier. Like, I don't think we're going to see this a lot.
I don't think this will happen again.
I agree generally that the transfer portal is good, and it's going to have a net benefit on college athletics. It's just, I don't know. It's just strange.
I'll tell you this. What happens if USC and Texas both rise to prominence and meet each other in the college football playoff, and there's Brew McCoy on the other side?
I think that's awesome.
It'd be something.
Do you think that's enough for like a revenge game? Like, do you think there's enough?
But who would be getting revenge in that case? Would it be? I mean, Brew. I don't think Brew has bad feelings for Texas.
Yeah. No, you're.
So I mean, would it be Texas getting revenge on Brew McCoy?
It's the Texas revenge game. Yeah, I think you're right. One aspect of this I saw you bring up on Twitter is, as stupid as it is for people to tweet at athletes anyway, especially when they're college kids.
Oh my gosh.
He's
an 18-year-old kid.
Is that the worst thing you can probably do on Twitter?
Tweeting at recruits is worse. And that's probably second worst.
Yeah. It's leave people alone. Like
just stop it.
And I promise you that NFL players don't care if their performance hurt your fantasy team. They do not care.
I think it's Patrick Peterson. He tweets back at people and he's like, LOL, sorry. Because, you know, some people happen to have defensive players or have the Cardinals defense or whatever.
Yeah. Well, props to him because I don't know if I could do it. Like,
if I was a professional athlete, I think all my mentions would be muted.
I just wouldn't have Twitter, probably.
I would have Twitter, but all my mentions would be muted.
I'd have, like, a burner, I feel like.
Oh, like KD?
You know what? Okay, speaking of, I don't want to go back to NBA Finals, but, like, before we wrap up here, is the meme of Kevin Durant on his phone.
Perfect.
Is that the greatest?
It's awesome.
So like one I saw last night is it's a picture of Kevin Durant in a Warriors jersey on his phone.
Right.
And the meme is him tweeting from a burner account. And so the meme last night was, so the Warriors are really better without KD, huh? Something like that. Oh, and then he said, what, Raptors in 7?
Raptors in 7 from his burner account.
So it's greatness. Like, Kevin Durant, as salty and as just, what's the right word, as petty,
yes,
just weak-minded as he is, it can provide some greatness. Jeffrey, let's move to the 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want, but when that time is up, you hear the buzzer, it's time to move on. Jeffrey, I'll go first here. I just wanted to share, I've begun a new podcast,
yes.
And it's something that I really feel impassioned to do. It's about my family, about my life, and about my faith, and it's just kind of talking about whatever I want. I highly recommend you check it out. Check out Grossly Overdone. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. And like you should do with this podcast as well, rate, review, and subscribe. You should do that for this podcast as well.
I am a subscriber now that I know it's on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Because I saw that earlier.
And that's just the easiest way to listen.
Absolutely.
Jeffrey, let's move to your 24 seconds. It begins now.
So Call of Duty came out with their new game, and yeah. It is Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Have we not had Call of Duty, the exact same title before Call of Duty Modern Warfare? Wasn't that COD 4?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the redo, completely different storyline. I'm interested to see what the online gameplay is going to look like because I was a big COD fan back in the day. So we'll see what happens with that.
So it's like a half reboot, half refresh?
Yes. And so I'm not sure where they're going with it. Because, like, Modern Warfare 2, my favorite video game of all time, besides the NCAA series. So I'm interested. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I'm not going to get it right at launch date, but we'll see.
That's very weird. I remember when the rumors came out about this, like, last week.
Yeah.
Just makes no sense. Because now how do you, when you're speaking of titles, how do you differentiate the games?
Yeah, I guess you have to say Modern Warfare, the new one.
It's very weird.
Very strange.
That's Activision that does that?
This year that? Is Activision. Okay. I don't even remember which COD came out this year, to be honest with you.
Dumb.
Yeah, dumb. Ridiculous.
Doesn't make sense to me, but Jeffrey, that's going to do it for this edition of Can I Get a Podcast? We'll be back next week with another great episode. As I said, head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, of course, subscribe. That's a great way to help us prop up the podcast. But Jeffrey, what's another great way to help get the word out there?
Well, you have to tell your friends. And you have to tell the people down the hall here at Cumulus.
Yes.
Because we do have like six stations here, I think.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. So you just got to tell everyone here. And then by extension, they'll tell a lot of people. And we'll have like, you know, like 5 billion people knowing about this podcast. But there is one person that is imperative. You must tell them that is whom.
Tell your ex-wife.
Yep. Got to do it.
You have to tell your ex-wife. All right. Check us out. KESN1033.com/podcast. No pod hour this week.
Sad.
Should be back on next Saturday somewhere between 2 and 3. Check that out. Review, rate, leave 5-star rating, write a nice review, tell Jeffrey how nice his voice sounds and how handsome he is.
Please.
Subscribe. But we'll be back next week. See ya.
Okay, thanks.